Next item on the agenda is Lawrence Hayden, number 19-1189. Who will be handling this matter?
This is Allison Lay again.
All right, Ms. Lay, you've been previously sworn. You may proceed, please.
Thank you. So this application was submitted by Lawrence Hayden, and he is requesting authorization to construct a 12-foot by 12-foot floating dock, 4-foot wide gangway, 9-foot pier extension, an additional 72 square feet of decking, 58 linear feet of 4-foot wide catwalk, 9 linear feet of 5-foot wide catwalk, and a 36-foot by 16-foot open-sided boathouse to an existing private open pile pier at property 135 Linda Drive along the Warwick River in the city of Newport News. The project is protested by two adjacent property owners. Next slide. This map shows the project location, which is along the Warwick River in Newport News. Next slide. This is a closer aerial photo showing the existing pier marked by the yellow indicator, as well as the three neighboring piers downstream. Next slide. This drawing shows the applicant's property and location of the existing pier, as well as the neighboring pier. Next slide. This is a plan view drawing showing the proposed additions to the existing pier. The applicant proposes to construct an extension to the pier, a floating dock with aluminum gangway, finger piers, and a boathouse. Next slide. This drawing shows the distances from the applicant's pier to the neighboring pier. The closest mooring pile is about 52 feet from the applicant's existing pier. The applicant argued that placement of these mooring pilings prevents him from being able to dock his boat at its current configuration. Next slide. This is a cross-section view of the proposed pier extension and boathouse. The drawing shows the boathouse directly over the deepest part of the channel, which is approximately minus 7 feet below mean low water. The usable part of the remaining channel offshore of the proposed boathouse will be approximately minus 4 feet 10 inches below mean low water. Next slide. This photo shows the applicant's pier to the right and then the neighboring pier to the left as seen from the shore. As you can see, there's a short amount of vegetated wetland before it extends into a mud flat, and then the end of the pier is within the water that is below mean low water. Next slide. This photo shows the neighboring pier in downstream view from the applicant's existing pier. Next slide. The applicant argues that since the Warwick River has a maximum depth of approximately minus 3 feet 3 inches below mean low water downriver from his pier, that placing the boathouse in the proposed position would not prohibit navigation. This drawing shows the downstream transect and cross-section drawing with the depth as reported by the applicant. Next slide. We did receive two protests from the adjacent property owners. The first was from Mr. Keith Sheldon, and he said that the boathouse will be constructed in the middle of the channel and that the pier extension will be too close to his pier. We also received a protest from Georgie Locklear, and she had several concerns. She thought the boathouse would diminish her waterfront view. The pier was too large for the neighborhood. The pier would be problematic for waterfowl and other creatures, and that the drawings didn't depict the property lines accurately, and that the applicant places tire and jump across the property line. Next slide. Based on the soundings provided in the application and the protests from the adjacent property owners, it is clear that the boathouse as proposed will be constructed in the deepest part of the channel. Staff believes this will be an obstruction to navigation in this area of the Warwick River. Although the river is more shallow further downstream, the river could be dredged or naturally change depths in the future. The applicant currently has the depth necessary for his boat with the pier's existing length and orientation. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends denial of the project as proposed. Should the commission agree, staff recommends that the applicant be given the option of submitting revised drawings for the proposed boathouse with the same dimensions, provided its channelward alignment does not exceed that of his existing offshore mooring piling. This alignment would not further obstruct navigation beyond that of the applicant's current sphere configuration. And that concludes my presentation. I'll take any questions that
Any questions by members of the commission for Ms. Lay?
John Zedrin, I have one.
Mr. Zedrin, I have you first. Go ahead.
Okay. Is he going to do away, if he built this new one, is he going to do away with the other one?
So he currently has mooring pilings, and those mooring pilings would be removed, and the catwalks and boathouse would be constructed.
Well, doesn't he have a flat platform down there at the end?
He does. He has some decking at the end of his pier, and that would remain. He would install additional decking to kind of adjust the angle of the pier so that it is more channelward on the left side, and then construct the boathouse and catwalks further towards channelward from that. If you go back to slide 5, two more further. Sorry, two more further down or further within the presentation. One more. Oh, sorry, it's moving too fast now. That one. Okay, yeah, so if you can see here, where it says existing dock, that is the part of the platform that is currently there. And then if you move further channelward, there's that triangle that is going to be constructed or is proposed to be constructed, as well as the boathouse and the catwalk. There are X's inside of the boat that is drawn, and those are where the existing mooring pilings are.
Well, you got that says existing pier running all the way to the land. That's going to stay there?
Yes.
So he's going to have two ramps?
Yeah, so there's going to be the pier, and then there's going to be an aluminum gangway to the floating dock.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Bowman, this is Christy. I had one.
Yes, Ms. Everett, proceed.
It's on the attachments in the book, it's 6, but it's the transects downstream. Could I just get a little bit more interpretation of the features that are pinned on that visual? I just didn't quite understand what it was conveying. That one. Thank you.
Yes. So this was submitted by the applicant. He went downriver from his property to take a transect and take depth along that transect of the river. So the pins along the line starting at A and moving towards 1, 2, and 3, that is the transect that he followed. And then he went up to 4. The other pins were not along the transect that he made, I believe. So the cross-section drawing is just showing the depth at that one transect that was downriver, in which the maximum depth was 3 feet 3 inches below mean low water.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions?
Yes.
Mr. Ballard?
When we're looking at these pins, what kind of activity goes on further downstream or upstream from these pins that will be passing by the applicant's proposed boathouse?
So this is in the upper reaches of the Warwick River, so there's not as much boating activity as there is downriver. However, there are still boats that do pass by this area as well as the applicant's pier.
Okay, and am I correct in assuming all the users of the boat ramp pictured here would have to transit by the applicant's pier to head downriver?
They would have to head upriver, not downriver.
Okay.
Further questions? Ms. Lay, in looking at the slides that you provided, it appears to me that there is a consistent, what I would call a navigation line orientation for the piers that are currently in place. Is that pretty much correct along that area? They're all about the same distance out? Okay. And it looks like they also appear to be oriented in a wise manner to just be far enough over the mud flat so that you get to the navigable part of the water. Is that correct? Further question is, these channels, that's a public boat ramp owned by the City of Newport News, is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay. And this also is a marked navigable channel, is that correct?
Not right next to the applicant's pier, but further downriver.
Okay, but it actually starts, I think the first day mark starts just downstream of the boat ramp, correct? Thank you. Any further questions for Ms. Lay by members of the commission? Thank you. Is Mr. Hayden present? The applicant wishes to be heard.
I am present. This is Mitchell Hayden.
Okay.
Lawrence Mitchell.
Okay, and we have a presentation that you provided, so we're going to put that up there, and you can ask for the slides to be changed as you provide your presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Before we proceed, do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, sir.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
Again, good morning. Also, good morning, Mr. Watkins and your staff. Thanks for the opportunity to present my project to upgrade my dock and moorings. I'd like to add, I really appreciate hearing the invocation at the beginning of your meeting this morning. That's becoming more and more rare. It was really nice to hear that. And I'd also like to say Allison just gave an excellent overview of the project. I can answer a number of the questions that were asked. A couple of them I do need to make a correction on. Let's get the next slide, please. Okay, you've already been given the location by Allison. Next slide. I started this project after knowing that I bought a boat for my family. And for my family, my wife and I and my family, it was very important to have handicap access to be able to board that boat from a floating dock. It's just not feasible handicap-wise to do it from a elevated dock without a floating dock. The cutwater platform on the stern and the access into the cockpit is from the starboard stern of the boat. Therefore, that part of the boat, the starboard stern, must be facing a floating dock. I also looked at having a safe approach to both the dock and the lift, and I've already been through two significant storms since I've been here in 2009, and I'm well aware of the impact of Hurricane Isabel on this stretch of the Warwick River. It's been significant, as you can see, you'll see later. So I'm very concerned about having the boat secured in storms. And I have two PWCs. I need to be able to accommodate them. And I'd like to still accommodate my 15.5-foot Boston Whaler. And I think it's much safer having a dock, the floating dock downstream, because of the prevailing northeast winds from upstream and the amount of flotsam and jet that comes down that river. And, of course, I'm very familiar with minimal adverse impacts on the achieving minimal adverse impact to the navigation, as well as environmental concerns. Next slide, please. You've already seen this orientation between Mr. Sheldon's dock and my dock. There is no upstream dock. Mr. Sheldon's property front at the water is about 70 feet. Mine's about 112 feet. And Ms. Locklear's is 205 feet waterfront view that she has. Potential waterfront view, because her property's pretty heavily forested and not maintained to have views underneath the tree lines. Underneath the tree branches, I'm sorry. As you can see, the projection of the property line between Mr. Sheldon's property and mine goes right through his dock. When his dock was permitted by the previous owner, the application had that dock centered on his property. Therefore, it would have been about 45 foot from the property line, and we'd never end up with this situation that we have right now. He had nothing to do with that. Mr. Sheldon didn't. Of course, it was a previous owner. Mr. Sheldon has got permit for an upgrade, adding a boat lift. And you've already been briefed by Ms. Lay about the pilings that are there. The two mooring pilings were to have been removed. It's the upstream waterward piling that causes a problem, the one that sits 65 feet from the edge of my current dock, as well as the one that sits 41 foot 8 inches. That mooring piling was put in at some time, not under any permits, and it's a major obstruction. The water piling at the 61 foot mark is not an issue. Next slide, please. I had 16 facts that I developed following the protest from upstream and downstream, and I'd like to address those. When I bought this property, because I've always wanted some waterfront property, I checked the water depth at mean low water, and it was 6.5 feet at the end of the dock. It has remained 6.5 feet for the entire duration that I've been here. The mooring piling of 13 feet out further is at 7 feet, one of them. The rest of them are about six and a half feet. I've taken soundings in front of Mr. Sheldon's dock as well as the two downstream docks. And all of these docks, when they were built, and you can see from the applications that were submitted, all the docks are considerably into the waterway. In fact, some of the dock ends and moor pilings are actually in the deepest part of the channel. It's been coming through there as long as I have been here, since 2009. And from talking to previous owners, to prior owners downstream, they said it's remained about the same. The river course has not remained the same downstream from here, across from Fort Eustis. Fort Eustis is virtually completely sedimented in. You cannot really use the boat ramp unless you just have a flat bottom boat and are rowing it. You no longer can get to that at all. It is not a public boat ramp. It is the Fort Eustis' ramp, and it's next to never used because it's silted in. The channel downstream, the profile downstream that I did, coming from that Fort Eustis boat ramp across the river, for a 50-foot width of that is between, 60-foot width is between 3 foot and 3 foot, 3 inches. Outside of that 60-foot, for the remaining few hundred feet going to Fort Eustis as well as the rain across the channel, are shallower, significantly shallower. As you can see, I'll show you a profile here shortly. All of the three downstream docks have a near straight-in approach from the downstream parallel to the waterward end of their docks. Very, very safe approach. I do not have such a safe approach because of the orientation of my dock and because of how close Mr. Sheldon's dock is to the projected property line, and piling is being placed significantly across that. Next slide, please. Okay, this is an aerial view showing the near straight-in approach to all three of the downstream docks. The solid red arrow is drawn that would give me the same type of approach as the three downstream docks. If my dock was tilted out towards the water on the downstream end, the dotted line shows what my dock alignment is, and it significantly is impacted by Mr. Sheldon's dock. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Okay, this is a view similar to the one that you saw from Ms. Lay from my upstream most piling on my dock, parallel to the dock, and clearly showing that what you run into is Mr. Sheldon's dock in his boat lift. Next slide, please. What I did here to try to figure out what type of alignment I needed to have that safe approach and to be able to accommodate handicap access, I drew lines from the upstream piling to Mr. Sheldon's outermost upstream motor pile, mooring piling, as well as to his outermost waterward upstream boat lift piling. And you can, sorry, this is a dark view, but you can see the white stream goes to the mooring piling and the yellow stream goes to the other. So that's where I established how much I needed to extend my pier. And it turns out it's 9 feet to extend the pier out to get that type of alignment. And then to accommodate the boat lift, it would need to be 12 and a half feet out to the mooring piling. And placing a catwalk to be able to get all the way around my boat would require a 4-foot catwalk on the waterward side. Next slide, please. You've already seen this. What I'd like to call to your attention here is right now the outermost mooring piling is at 7 feet. The end of the dock is at 6'6", and that has remained for the entire time that I've been here. The piling at the 7-foot mark, that's the outermost extent of the of my current dock right now. Building the boathouse for the boat lift, open-sided boathouse, and the catwalk decreases the water depth at mean low water now to 5'10". That's the depth that's lost over a period, over a distance of about 12 feet. And as you can see, the profile up to the mud flat for a distance of 170 feet from my, almost 170 feet from my dock, actually from mean low water to mean low water, you hit a mud flat. So you're still left with a significant navigable width of 50 feet. With no depth less than 3 feet, and the deepest is at 5'10". The downstream profile, as was indicated earlier, and I've taken three of those, and the one that you saw, the deepest part at mean low water is only 3.3 feet. So anybody with a draft greater than that is already going to be hindered downstream by that crossing point, not by my dock. Concerning the traffic that comes upstream from there, well, first of all, there's virtually no traffic at Fort Eustis. All there are people that occasionally come down and fish off of the bulkhead down there. Very, very seldom does anybody go upstream unless they are completely unaware of the mud flat. And unfortunately, most of them end up getting stuck out in the mud flat, sometimes for 6 to 12 hours trying to get out of there. I know of two people that know the channel upstream from me and have never had a problem with it. And one of them downsized his boat. Now it's smaller, and I'm not even sure if he has a boat now. The other one is a duck hunter that I know from Fort Eustis, and he goes upstream, and he's got a Go Devil, and he goes right across the mud flat, and it's no problem for him. So other than somebody completely unaware, because they aren't familiar with the depths, they're the only ones that have a problem. There are no U.S. Coast Guard markings or other markings for the in this vicinity at all. I think the closest one would be way down at the Denby boat ramp. Next slide, please. Next slide. Thank you. Okay, the protest addressed that most of the boats in this area were like 12 to 18 foot boats, and I'm not sure where that came from, but you can look at the applications, you can look at the aerial photographs going back into the 70s, and the boats that have been in this area are between, the larger boats are between 26 and 34 feet. Then when one was 23 feet. So my boat is not bigger than the average boats have been in this area. And further downstream in the Beachmont area, the boats are considerably better, bigger. There are boat houses all around this area. I'd say probably about half the docks within about a mile downstream of me, both in Stony Creek and on the Warwick River, have boat houses, open-sided boat houses. It used to be, prior to Hurricane Isabel, a boathouse at the third dock downstream from me, 129 Linda Drive. It was destroyed during Hurricane Isabel, and the owner chose not to build it back. My project does not adversely increase impacts to the environment, and I can say that from my training and from my degrees. I have a bachelor's degree in botany and a master's degree in ecosystem ecology, and I've been a project manager for as an engineer officer for over 30 years for the U.S. Army, as well as working regulatory for several years in the Delta region of California. So I'm very familiar because of my degrees with environmental issues around here. In fact, these dock structures and pilings, I think, add to it, particularly for the raptors, the ospreys, and the eagles around here, and the great blues, and the white herons, et cetera. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has issued meets the qualifications of a regional permit 18 to include the modifications that I made over the past couple of months that you were briefed on. So they have no problem with this, and they have no navigation problem with it. Next slide, please. Next. Okay. This is a saw earlier. It shows the larger boats. This view was from 2007. I moved here in 2009. Next slide, please. This was the original permit application for the dock at 133 Linda Drive. As you can see, it was proposed to be in the middle of the property and extend out. Actually went out at greater water depths than that. And as well, it's only 16 and a half feet from my property line. Next slide, please. This was the application from Mr. Sheldon for adding his boat lift, and he was to move the existing pilings, and the previous permit already had mooring pilings, one on the waterward side of the upstream end and one on the landward side of the upstream end and one on the landward side of the downstream end, and they're not shown on this, but the two outer ones are. It's the right-hand most piling that's a concern for me, as well as an additional piling on the upstream end of the dock that has been added at some point, and it obstructs the navigation into my area. Next slide, please. It's same drawing that you saw from Ms. Lay. The dock doesn't need to go out the entire length of my pier. It only needs to go out the distance on the downstream end, and only 4 feet on the upstream end. That's what allows the alignment with very little impact to the navigation. Again, as I said, it's you're restricted by the navigation downstream. I also, as you'll see here in a series of profile measurements, did another downstream a little bit further, basically at just upstream of the confluence of Stony Run Creek with Ward Boulevard, with Ward River, and all the way over to Fort Eustis. This floating dock is very important for handicapped access. If you look at the starboard stern of the boat, you can see where
how many more slides does he have?
The boat can be accessed at the level of the dock to the rear platform of the boat and through a passageway through the stern into the cockpit area. And, of course, to get to the dock, it needs to have an appropriate handicap sloped ramp. And to do that, I need to have a small access.
Is it 2 to 21?
The slide right there. PWC crafts can go on the waterward side of the existing dock. And the current whaler location, I like to move in line with the upstream end of the open-sided boathouse. Next slide, please. Next. This is Mr. Sheldon's dock. If you had the paper copy of this, you could put the two of these together with the match line and again see the alignment and see the difficulties because of the orientation of the docks together and because of the moorings. Next slide. Just to give you a quick overview, this is a view in prior to Hurricane Isabel, and there was a significant peninsula that came out from the Stony Brook side, going three-fourths of the way across the river. There was a significant S shape in the river, and then downstream from that was a peninsula going the reverse direction. And so the channel depth, that's where the channel went, and it was pretty decent navigation at that time. I understand you could use the boat ramp at Fort Eustis. After Hurricane Isabel, a combination of, I guess, PWC users going across that and a U.S. Army putting some of their watercraft on that peninsula during Hurricane Isabel, it started washing out, and now it's completely gone. And both of those are completely gone. And so now the river course comes straight across. So if you go to the next slide, please. Just above the left-hand edge of the 800-foot schematic at the bottom, you see a small island, and then you see a big dot structure at the point there, and then you see a little tiny mud flat. That is all that remains of the peninsula that came across from Fort Eustis. And there is nothing remaining other than the pine-vegetated peninsula part, and it's all gone.
Mr. Hayden, if you can move it along just a little bit. I think the topography orientation we're getting now does not have anything really to do with your project at hand. We've been going on now for about 25 minutes. If you could please make your case as far as why you believe your project is should be approved by the commission, I greatly appreciate it. It's a great presentation, but some of these slides in the chair's mind don't have anything to do with the project at hand. Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. the profile that I took. I took three major profiles across the river. The one that you saw earlier, and over a distance of about 60 feet, the river is no deeper than 3 foot 3 inches. So anybody coming up through there is going to be restricted at that point, not up where our four docks are, not by my project going out in the river a little bit further. I took the similar transect vicinity of that remaining little mud flat down near the major boathouse across, and that deepest point over about 60, 80 foot distance was only 3 foot 6 inches. Most of it was under 3 feet. Again, that's even further restriction. So my position is that my project is not going to limit the navigation, restrict navigation upstream from my dock, both because they got a 50-foot width of something greater, deeper than 3 foot, which is adequate. Very few docks, boats ever even go up that way. And there are numerous places in the Hampton Roads area which the docks come out in the river, and there is even less navigation width going through there, yet the traffic passes through there, and they've been allowed to do that for many, many years. Next slide, please.
22 slides.
Next slide. The answer to the questions on this right now is the B is a piling that belongs to Fort Eustis. It was there. C was a pole that I put in the water just establishing where the mud flat was. And then I ended up doing a transect from a piling right next to the ramp at Fort Eustis, going across the item point number one, point number two, point number three, and then doing a right angle turn back to the peninsula. And again, the deepest point was 3 foot 3 inches across there. And then upstream, those are the markers for the transect that I took upstream, and you've seen that profile earlier. And again, it goes from about 5 foot 10 inches to 3 foot over a distance of 50 feet and doesn't obstruct the navigation. Next slide, please. It just shows the view of those points from upstream. Next. These are cross-section that I took. I strung a taut line across the river, and I took a 100-foot nylon tape and made measurements every 10 feet and took the measurements with the pole. Very accurate. And the one on the left is the one that you saw a picture of earlier. The one on the right is the one that I also just referred to. Next slide, please. Next slide. This is just to show you, for example, in Deep Creek area, as you move up from the big, huge boathouse at the bottom of the screen, you'll see the dock that goes out into the water right there, and I've been to these points. There's only a few feet left across there, and a very narrow channel to get through. You go upstream and take the left-hand fork, and there's two more docks, and this is very, this is similar to what you see in a lot of places.
But Mr. Hayden, Mr. Hayden,
the waterways around my house.
Mr. Hayden, in this area, though, I see no adjoining property owner piers either in this area that you are pointing out. Would you agree with that?
Well, I understand that.
Okay, thank you.
The commission, what I'm hearing is the commission saying that they do not want to approve this because I'm restricting navigation in the channel. I don't understand that.
Okay. All right, sir.
I muted him. Are we done with? He's done with the presentation, right?
Right. Unmute him.
Okay.
Can I still talk?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Sheldon's piling, if my project's approved, I have no reason to want him to remove any of his pilings. It would be a complete non-issue for him to move those filings if my project was completed, if my project is approved. If it's not approved, then it's a little bit better if those two mooring pilings are removed. And matter of fact, if they are removed and my project approved, I can bring it in 2 feet from what it currently is. So instead of going out 12 feet, it would only need to go out 10 feet, so that would be helpful.
All right, sir.
And may I ask you this, would it make a difference if I eliminated the 4-foot catwalk on the waterward side?
Sir, we're not in a position to negotiate at this juncture as to what you can or cannot do. We're here hearing your case and your application on the merits at the present time.
Okay, sir, I understand.
Could you?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is that your case?
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Mr. Hayden. Any members of the commission have questions for Mr. Hayden? All right. Thank you. Is Mr. Keith Sheldon on the phone? Mr. Sheldon? I'm sorry, before we go any further, is anyone else in support of this project?
Seeing none.
Seeing none. Mr. Sheldon, are you on the line?
I do not see Mr. Sheldon on the line.
Okay. Mr. Sheldon is not on the line. Is Georgiana Locklear via son-in-law Jay Emmett protestant on the line?
Neither name.
Okay. Anyone else in protest to this project? Can you unmute? We're going to unmute the lines. Is there anyone in opposition to this project? Close the line, please. All right. They're seeing none. The matter's before the commission for discussion and action. I do have a question before we go further. Mr. Watkinson, are you online?
Yes, sir.
There's been an assertion that Mr. Sheldon, during the course of his project, was supposed to remove two mooring pilings. Can you verify or clarify that issue Yes, please.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And we have actually, as a result of this coming to light and our inspections of the area, we realized those two pilings were to have been removed as a result of the previous application. And as a result, we've sent a notice to comply to Mr. Sheldon to remove those two channelward pilings that you saw in the photos with the addition of his boat lift. There does not appear to be any need for those. They do not serve any purpose that we can tell, and we think they should be removed because they are an encroachment into the deeper water areas beyond Mr. Sheldon's pier.
How long ago was that? How long ago was that notice to comply sent?
It's been a couple months. I don't recall exactly when.
Okay. Have we received a response yet from Mr. Sheldon?
My recollection, and Allison might be able to give more detail, was that he replied, was looking into removing it, couldn't find a contractor to do it, and then brought up the idea of whether or not he should be allowed to submit an after-the-fact request to keep those. And our feeling is that that would be inappropriate. They do need to come out. So we're still discussing how to best achieve that at this point with him. If some point he does not remove the pilings, he might be in front of you for a restoration hearing.
I think that should occur. I think that should occur sooner than later, because that's has something to do a little bit with this project as well.
Yes,
and in 2 months, so you can advise him forthwith that he needs to remove those pilings or do something whatever is appropriate according to the law, because he's been given appropriate amount of time to remove those pilings. And thank you for bringing that to my attention. Any further questions by members of the commission? If not, again, the matter is before the commission for discussion.
John Zegerman.
Mr. Zegerman, proceed, please.
It sounds like
there needs to be some more work done on this application, and I heard from the applicant suggestions and questions that they were asking you about what could be done in modifying the plans and things like that. And the second recommendation of the staff here said, should the commission agree, staff recommends that the applicant be given the option of submitting a revised drawing for the proposed boathouse. And what we had just a discussion about the two thorn pylons from the next door neighbor. I think if this all can occur at one time, that would probably be the way to go, because if the thorn pylons are moved, and as Mr. Hayden said here, look, I can take that waterway 4 feet off and then have it all aligned and so forth. I think that would be the way to go. That would be my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Zedrin. Further comments? Well, I'm concerned by virtue of the fact that all the piers appear to be in line with one another. They've been established that way for a long time. To then go and extend one pier in the middle of them is certainly an encumbrance to the other folks. Now, Mr. Hayden will argue that it's plenty of room, plenty of channel, but you still have to make some maneuverings around there to do that. I'm not going to dispute or question the Corps of Engineers' decision. It seems a little out of character for them to approve this as far as a navigation line that appears to be fully well-defined through that area. But I think pursuant to Section 28.2.1205, taking consideration everything that's there, my position is that this project simply is and is not suitable for this specific area. That would be my comment. Matters before the commission for action.
This is Dr. Neal. I make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Dr. Neal to approve staff recommendation, which is denial, and then if he wants to come back, he can do that.
Correct.
Second.
Who was the second?
Zedrin.
Mr. Zedrin. Call the roll. Mr. France.
Commissioner
Bowman. I'm sorry, Ms. Everett. Ms. Everett. Excuse me, I've got a lot of background noise.
Got him.
What was your question?
Just wanted to clarify when you mentioned that if he were denied, or, you know, we filed a staff recommendation with this motion and he were denied, the applicant could come back to, and would it be starting the process over, or would it be able to kind of pick up where current discussions, some of the issues that were brought up today were left off? I just want to understand if there is a way to not lose the good work that has been done on this, but still go back to the drawing board to revisit some of the tweaks that would need to be made.
Mr. Watkinson.
Mr. Commissioner and Associate Member Ms. Everett, certainly I think we'll utilize the information that we have had presented to us in consideration of the debate and comments today and reviewing a subsequent application. I would say that we would need a new plan. Certainly would have to coordinate that and notify the neighbors and the protestants of any changes that are made as a result of a resubmittal that Mr. Hayden might provide. So, yes, we will use the information that's been presented and discussed here, but we would have to go through basically a new process of review to decide if changes that were proposed would be acceptable or not.
Does that answer your question, Ms. Everett?
It does. Thank you, Commissioner Bowman. May I ask a further kind of clarifying question in terms of a potential process moving forward?
Proceed.
I think at my, given Mr. Watkinson's answer, I'm just wondering, I don't know if this would be a substitute or a motion, would be potentially, and maybe this gets back more to Mr. Zedrin's question or comment, would it be possible to make the process more efficient, thereby not following on the motion by Dr. Neal, but by asking staff to revisit the current proposal? Could that be a substitute motion?
I don't believe that. Well, this places the chair in an untenable position, quite honestly, with the recommendation that was made by staff. Normally, it's either to approve or deny. And with this going in, I think, Ms. Everett, you need to make a motion of whatever you want to do as a substitute motion.
This is Dr. Neal.
Yes, sir, Dr. Neal.
I guess I would recommend actually reading the staff recommendation, which pretty much is what she's asking.
I agree with that. The staff recommendation is, accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all factors contained in 28.212.05 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends denial of the project as proposed. Should the commission agree, staff recommends that the applicant be given the option of submitting revised drawings for the proposed boathouse with the same dimensions, provided its channelward alignment does not exceed that of his existing offshore mooring pilings. This alignment would not further obstruct navigation beyond the applicant's current pier configuration. That is staff recommendations, and that is the motion that Dr. Neal made to approve that was seconded by Mr. Zedrin. And that's what's before us now, unless I receive a substitute motion. I hear no substitute motion. Call the roll. Mr. France. Mr. Tankard. Mr. Zedrin. Dr. Neal.
Aye.
Mr. Ballard.
Aye.
Mr. Miner.
Aye.
Ms. Lusk.
Aye.
Ms. Everett.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Mr. France.
Try him again, yeah. Here he is. He's unmuted.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We have your vote recorded as aye. The motion is the motion that passed is to deny as proposed with the opportunity for new drawings to be submitted. Thank you very much for the presentation. Next item on the agenda. Yes, ma'am.
May I just add a quick comment?
Yes, ma'am. Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to reflect. My comments were kind of in respect and acknowledgement for all the work that the applicant has gone in. That's, I think, why I see clearly now that the motion did, you know, just ask the staff revisit it with the applicant. But just wanted to share that I do appreciate the amount of work that the applicant went in, and that's what I was hoping to get at, is to make sure they realized that that was acknowledged and appreciated.
And I could not agree anymore. That was a very detailed and very, very, very good presentation. So thank you, Ms. Everett.